Consider this. You've spent years climbing toward success, checking boxes society told you mattered, yet the finish line keeps moving. Maybe you bought the promotion, but lost sleep. Maybe you achieved the body, but gained anxiety. Maybe you built the career, but missed your kid's childhood. Here's a radical thought. What if the problem isn't that you haven't achieved enough, but that you've been sold a fundamentally broken vision of what life should be? We live inside what might be called the greatness trap. From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, from Instagram influencers to academic superstars, our culture operates on a seductive but poisonous premise. Exceptional individuals can transcend life's imperfections if properly rewarded with wealth and power. Parents push children toward elite universities. Companies worship 10x performers. Media celebrates billionaire origin stories. The unspoken promise? Work hard enough, be talented enough, and you too can join the exceptional few. But here's what nobody tells you. This is a rigged game with mathematical certainty. Only a handful can attend Harvard. Only one startup becomes the next unicorn. Even when we reject material wealth as the scoreboard, we simply transfer our obsession elsewhere, to intellectual prestige, social media followers, or spiritual enlightenment. The treadmill never stops. The finish line never arrives. What if instead of a world where a few have everything, we built one where everyone has enough? This means every human gets both goodness, dignity, meaning, decency, and enoughness, quality food, shelter, healthcare. It values steady collective progress over dramatic individual breakthroughs. This idea draws from psychoanalyst Donald Winnicott's Good Enough Parent, one who provides security while allowing children to experience manageable failures. Being good enough is simultaneously relaxing and difficult. It requires questioning our instinct towards ceaseless protection while easing the anxiety we place on ourselves and others. Anthropological evidence shows humans aren't hardwired for selfish competition. Hunter-gatherer societies maintained remarkably egalitarian structures. Even Adam Smith, often mischaracterized as capitalism's cheerleader, viewed the pursuit of greatness as morally corrupting, noting people chase status because society lavishes admiration on the powerful. The paradigm shift. Maintaining a good enough world requires everyone's active engagement rather than waiting for a great few to save us. History's most transformative changes, civil rights movements, labor reforms, environmental protections, emerged from widespread collective action, not isolated genius. Modern self-help repackages ancient wisdom as productivity hacks. Corporate yoga and executive meditation don't challenge ceaseless striving. They enable a less anxious path to the same materialistic ends, turning Buddhism into a marketplace tool rather than liberation from it. Buddhist philosophy teaches about dukkha, the fundamental unsatisfactoriness of existence. Unlike Aristotle, who believed pleasure completes itself, Buddha recognized that pleasure creates despair because we inevitably cling to it and crave more. That new phone's excitement fades within weeks. Natural selection designed us for perpetual dissatisfaction, so we keep striving, useful for survival, devastating for contentment. But individual mindfulness falls short. Even with inner peace, you're still breathing polluted air, living in unequal societies, watching others suffer. The subtle wisdom isn't perfecting your individual psychology. It's recognizing that life will always contain unsatisfactory elements and working to give a fuck about making a good enough world where imperfection is understood rather than condemned. Relationships suffer uniquely under greatness culture. We push partners towards social hierarchy tops while wanting our relationships themselves considered most desirable. Parents try making children into winners while attempting to be great parents, creating impossible expectations and inevitable disappointment. Many remain stuck in the romantic notion that a perfect being exists who can meet all needs. Research reveals divorce rates peak not among people who hate each other, but those chasing an elusive spark, leading to serial marriages with diminishing returns. Good enough relationships create imperfect harmony of pleasant connections and mild mishaps, leaving each person energetic, respected, and appreciated. It means giving what we can without burning out, accepting others' failings while being honest about our own, recognizing when extraordinary care is needed without expecting constant escalation. It's not settling for mediocrity, but finding balance between intense connection and everyday care, recognizing neither partner wants to permanently merge and sacrifice individuality. Here's a paradox. As economies grow more winner-take-all, we produce more people needing mutual aid while creating conditions where everyone's too busy pursuing status to help. Increased affluence actually decreases leisure consumption. Opportunities create pressure to maximize limited free time. We work harder for leisure time we can't properly enjoy, a self-negating cycle. Adam Smith's theory embodies capitalism's core contradiction. Though celebrated for championing self-interest, he believed restraining our selfish and indulging our benevolent affections constitutes the perfection of human nature. His invisible hand represents a Faustian bargain. Even as the rich hoard resources, they must return some bounty. This bargain collapses when capital moves internationally, as devastated regions voting for Trump after NAFTA demonstrate. Modern philanthropy perpetuates this broken system. Bill Gates makes decisions affecting billions without democratic accountability. George Soros funds democratic initiatives using wealth from the very finance capitalism that destabilized economies. This philanthropy washing allows brutal business practices to continue, justified through charitable giving that lets billionaires decide how billions get helped. Proven alternatives exist. Germany and Sweden mandate worker representation on corporate boards. Spain's Mondragon Corporation thrives with 80,000 worker owners. Norway's sovereign wealth fund proves public ownership creates lasting prosperity. Alaska provides annual oil revenue dividends to all residents. Philosopher John Rawls offers a thought experiment, choosing between a greatness-oriented world and a good enough world without knowing your place in either. This veil of ignorance reveals most people prefer systems prioritizing universal adequacy over exceptional but exclusive achievement. At 1.1C of warming, we face millions of climate refugees, mass extinctions, and billions in damages. The inequality is stark. The top 10% of income earners cause 25 to 43% of environmental impact, while the poorest 10% contribute only 3 to 5%, yet suffer most. The claim that humans are hardwired for dominance collapses under scrutiny. Primatologist Franz de Waal identifies two inner apes, chimpanzee-like hierarchy and bonobo-like cooperation. We possess a gamut of tendencies, from the basest to the noblest. Evolution isn't optimization, but being good enough not to die off. We must reframe nature from great to good enough. Nature produced humans who now threaten to destroy it. Hardly perfect harmony. Nature isn't an endless resource to exploit. We are embedded in nature and it in us, part of the good enough ecological system enabling life to flourish.
Walking through a state park in early spring, watching trees bud despite dire climate predictions, reveals something profound. Humanity and Earth are good enough for each other. This random universe has become good enough to sustain life. Throughout history, humans have flourished without perfectionism, relationships thriving through acceptance, political structures serving all, humans recognizing our place in nature. What unifies our current troubles is greatness, ordering the world to elevate some humans above others, humanity above nature. This vision has created epidemics of stress, anxiety, inequality, and ecological damage. Moving beyond greatness frees us to enjoy more leisure, complexity, and values obscured by narrow competition. The path forward isn't lowering expectations, it's radically reimagining what we should expect from life. It's building systems where everyone gets decency and sufficiency rather than a few getting excess while most scramble for scraps. In a world that measures worth in followers, salary, and status, choosing good enough is radical. It's choosing collective thriving over individual glory, sustainable contentment over perpetual striving, and recognizing that the life you already have, imperfect, ordinary, sufficient, might be exactly enough.